up to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. Easy to find the book of Exodus right after the book of Genesis, all right? If you have a Schofield Bible, it's on page 92, all right? It's actually going to start on page 91, but Exodus chapter 17, if you will. Lord willing, going to preach a series of messages to you on the life of Joshua. And so we'll try to take some. I like to preach from Bible characters and their lives, and but I just feel like it's what the Lord would have me to do, not just because I like to do it, all right? It's good to see Michael Dimsdale back with us tonight. Good to have him. Glad he's able to be here. And all right, you're there in Exodus 17. Look at verse 8. The Bible said, "And then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword." This is the first mention in your Bible of Joshua. Joshua was an outstanding man in the Word of God. He was the one that God picked to be the successor to Moses. And he became the conqueror of the promised land. He was a man God used. And the amazing thing is he was a man who was successful in following a giant of God. Now, you think, well, no big deal. Oh, yeah, big deal. Oftentimes, those who need to be the successor to someone else do a dismal job of it, and things go wrong, and it's disastrous on many occasions, and you see it from the human side. There'll be great churches built here in some place, and then God raises up a man to build that great church, and then as he passes away or moves, then another one takes his place. And boy, it's hard to do that, all right? Now, it's hard to do that for several reasons. One, it's hard to do it because of people. People expect the follower, the successor, to be exactly like the one that he followed. I'm going to tell you, that's hard to do, all right? As a matter of fact, it's somewhat impossible. God made one Moses. God made one Moses. He made one Joshua, okay? He didn't make more than one. And following that one is difficult to do because sometimes people are the way they are. There's a church here in town that I can think of, and they had a good pastor. He did a good work, and he moved away. The Lord moved him elsewhere, and another man was called a pastor of that church. And not too long after he was there, the church split. And really, a big part of the problem was, well, he wasn't Brother So-and-So. Well, no, he wasn't, all right? That's the wrong thing to even expect, okay? People are different. God uses different people in different ways. But Joshua was a man that was able to make a grand success of following in the leadership position that Moses held. Now, part of that was because of Joshua, too, all right? Part of that because of what he was. So God used him. He did an amazing job. So I just want to look tonight about five things to do with Joshua. And we'll give you those five things. We'll have prayer and give an invitation. We'll go home, all right? And if you'll listen fast, I'll preach and I'll get through. You said, how long are you going to preach? Until I finish. And when I finish, I'll quit, all right? Promise to do that. But just a few things about him. Number one, won't you see the name Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. I think about that and I think what a wonderful testimony it was to God every time Joshua's name was spoken. Amen. Wonderful testimony. Now, our names, I have no idea what my name means. I think if anybody were to tell me, it would be something they made up. All right? It's just something they made up. I've been in all kinds of stores, you know, and they'll have bracelets or key rings and have your name on them. Ever been in those places, you know, usually tourist places, and you can get a key ring. I've never found my name on any of those, ever, ever. You go up and you look in books and it says, tell you what your name means. I've never found my name in any of them, all right? And so you said, does it bother you? Not a bit, not a bit, all right? But hey, those Bible names, they meant something. And Joshua's name meant Jehovah is salvation. So every time his name was spoken, what a testimony it was to the greatness of God, to the grace of God, to the mercy of God, to the power of God, because only God can save, all right? So what a great thing it was to think. Every time his name was mentioned, boy, it just honored the Lord and honored him. But wait a minute, you and I do have a name as Christian. We bear that name of Christian. And boy, we ought to be glad to take that name. We shouldn't shy away from it. But we ought to be careful we don't do anything to bring harm or reproach on that name, all right? Boy, what a thing to live that way. If you're going to let people know you're a Christian, and you should. And if you're going to do that, though, you need to live careful. Need to live careful. Boy, how good it would be if we would be like Daniel. The only thing anybody could bring a reproach against him was to make it illegal to serve the Lord. Well, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good if the only thing anybody could really say bad about you was they had to make a lie to do it? Had to lie about it to make that happen? Boy, that'd be a good thing. Said, that's impossible. You can't live like that. Well, you can. You can. You can live a good life, all right? Hey, you know what? People will forgive if you mess up, if you ask for forgiveness. You know, it's that arrogancy that gets people in trouble when they mess up, but they won't ask. They won't admit it. They won't come clean about it. And it's always bothered me in the political realm. You hear some charge come out against some politician, and they vehemently deny it, deny it, deny it, deny it, and then it comes out, it's absolutely true. But there's the only apology is, I sure am sorry I got caught. Hey, listen, it shouldn't be that way with you and me. Shouldn't be that way with me and you. Hey, you said, well, preacher, I am a Christian. I bear that name. Good. But I don't live a perfect life. Well, we know that. We know that. But hey, I tell you, when you do mess up, if you wrong somebody, go to them and fess up and apologize and ask for forgiveness. Seek that. People forgive stuff like that. It's when people are arrogant and will not admit to doing wrong that other people say, well, we know they're a fake. They're a fake. Hey, listen, Joshua, what a testimony he had. The very mention of his name honored God. Jehovah is salvation. Second thing I want you to consider about Joshua is this. Joshua was seasoned in suffering. He was seasoned in suffering. You say, now, what do you mean by that? Hey, he saw what happened in Egypt. He came up. He was in Egypt, all right? He wasn't born in the wilderness. You with me? When he went into the wilderness, he was a man. He was already a man. He went into the wilderness, all right? He was there. That means he went through what, he saw what happened in Egypt to God's people. He saw the mistreatment that they endured. Hey, he wasn't just a spectator to it. He experienced it, I'm sure. He was one of those, all right? It's interesting. I've got a book that says this, talking about him, and he says, affliction is a better friend of character than is affluence. He said, now, what do you mean by that? Here, let me put it there. Hey, there's a lot more character seen in people that have suffered than what is seen in people that have been born with a silver spoon in their mouth. All right? Hey, suffering, I'll just be honest with you, suffering's good for you. Now, I've never raised my hand and said, I'd love to suffer. Never have. And by the way, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. But I'll tell you this, the truth of the matter is it's doing without that helps us. It's doing without that helps you, all right? It's not having everything you have. I tell parents all the time, would you quit giving your kids everything they want? Quit doing that. Quit doing that. The old saying, well, I want them to have a better life than I did. Not me. I don't want my kids to have a better life than I had. The life I had made me what I am. We didn't give them everything. Not going to. I don't want my grandkids to have everything there is, all right? I don't think it's good. They spoil them. I don't want them spoiled. I don't like spoiled kids. Hey, I don't like spoiled kids if they're your spoiled kid or if they're my spoiled kid or my kid's spoiled kid, all right? I don't like spoiled kids. Hey, listen, the truth of the matter is suffering helps us. It'll mold your character. Now, it doesn't have to be beatings. Are you with me? It doesn't have to be that, but ain't suffering builds more character into you than getting by and having everything you need handed to you. It's a good thing for people to work for what they get. It's a good thing for people to experience that suffering, right? Why? Because it's a better friend of character than affluence ever has been. Ever has been. Man, do you remember a few years ago that fellow was charged with killing those people, and his defense was based on the fact, well, I've had everything handed to me in my life. They even had a name for it, you know, and affluenza or something like that. The craziest thing ever heard, and I thought, well, good, it's time now. He's had everything. Let's give him what he hadn't had, and maybe it'll make something out of him. Hey, listen, it's a good thing. Oh, Joshua was seasoned in suffering. He was seasoned in suffering. He was seasoned by what he had to go through. You know, there's not a person in here that thinks, not one person in here thinks, all right, I'm going to lay in the bed for a solid week. Only time I'm going to get up is when I just have to go to the restroom. I'm not getting up. And I know after that, I get up, I'll be stronger. Nobody believes that. Nobody believes that. Hey, it works the other way around. Works the other way around. You lay in the bed, you get up, after a week, you're going to be weaker. Oftentimes when older folks have an injury or something, they're in the hospital and they're laid up for a period of time, they don't go home, they go to rehab. Why? To build back their strength. But it's amazing to me, we think, well, if I never am tested, it'll be better. No, it's that testing. It's that testing that helps us. It's that pressure that's put upon us that makes us come back and fight, makes us stronger. Hey, suffering seasoned Joshua. I want you to look at something else about him. Look there in verse 9. Verse 9, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek." I want you to see Joshua was one trusted individual. You talk about trust in a man. Moses trusted Joshua. Man, he gave him, you see how much trust he had. He said, "Joshua, I trust you enough, you go choose the army you're going to lead. You go choose the army you're going to lead." Every so often at school, we'll go out PE and we'll let the kids pick teams. And it's interesting sometimes to watch kids pick teams. The other day we were picking teams. Brother Dunbar had taken some kids to a competition, and I think that's where he was that day, and I went out with the kids at PE, and I decided I'm going to let these two little girls choose teams. It was interesting. The last person they would pick would be a boy. They picked all the girls first. It was super interesting. Just watching them, they picked all the girls first who were not, I'm sorry, but they just weren't that athletic, all right? And here's these guys here that at least could halfway do what we were fixing to do. But it was almost like after all the girls were picked, it's almost like they looked at me and said, do I have to pick them? You know? The truth of the matter is their discernment, their judgment in that situation wasn't good. Now, it didn't matter because what we were going to play was just a game. But what's fixing to happen here, it was war. It was life and death. I want you to see that Moses trusted Joshua. Joshua was the kind of individual that could be trusted. That means Moses respected his discernment and respected his judgment. He said, I'm going to let you pick the fellows that are going to go to war with you. You do that. So God, he's a man who was trusted to choose the army. Not only that, he was trusted to lead that army that he chose. Trusted lead. You know what that means? That means Moses looked at Joshua and said, you know, I know this guy, I trust him, but I also know the other people trust him too. The other folks trust him. Hey, you don't go into war with somebody you don't trust unless you have to, all right? Unless you just have to. And you want a leader out there you can trust. And so Moses looked at him and he said, Joshua, you're that man. I know I can trust you. I know God can trust you. I can see it. There's discernment about you. There's judgment about you. You've got some leadership skills. You've got some people skills to be able to take a bunch. And by the way, this wasn't a trained army. You with me? This wasn't a trained army. But how did he pick the folks? I don't know. Moses knew what he was doing when he picked Joshua, and he picked somebody that was going to know what he was doing when he picked the men that were fighting. Joshua, was a man who was trusted. Trusted by the leader, trusted by the people. Trusted, a man who's trusted. Listen, I want to say this to you. One of the greatest things you can have is people's trust. People's trust. It's good when people can trust you. It is a sad thing when people can't trust Christians. Sad thing when people cannot trust Christians. People ought to have that trust in you. Boy, let Joshua's example kind of challenge you a little bit, all right? Not only was he trusted, but look in verse 10. Notice what verse 10 says. Verse 10 says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. Moses, you sure you know what you're doing? No, he didn't say that. He did as Moses said to him. Now you get it? He was obedient. He was obedient. He knew how to obey orders. Can I just say this to you? That is becoming, that put him in the minority today. People have a hard time. Man, people, today I've never seen a day as strong as it is now where people resent somebody telling them what to do. Man, there's absolute resentment of it. You know, what are you trying to tell me? Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Well, hey, you know, just trying to help you, just trying to point your way, you know. Don't try to tell me what to do. It's across the board. We see it in kids. Oh, we see it in kids tons of times. And I wish we only saw it in kids, but we see it in adults. And I've got a real suspicion that's why we see it in kids. All right, we see it in the kiddos. Why? People don't want to be told what to do. People don't want to be obedient. People don't want to obey orders. Just don't want to do it, all right? So there he was. He was the kind of guy, though, that said, I'll do what you said. Not only did he obey, but he obeyed promptly. Promptly. There's no messing around. I mean, he did as Moses said, and because notice how much time Moses gave Joshua. In verse 9, he said, you pick the army. We're going to go fight with Amalek tomorrow. Take all the time you need. Be ready in the morning. All right? Don't be in a rush, but in the morning we're going to war, all right? That tells me, hey, Joshua didn't mess around. He had got the word from Moses. He said, okay. I mean, it was prompt obedience. Had he messed around like so many people do in our day in obeying that command, what a disaster it would have been. Moses would, and Aaron and Hur would have went up to the top of the mountain. Moses raised his rod and said, where's our army? Joshua said, I'm praying about it. No, you just need to do it. Just need to do it. One of the greatest things you and I learn to do, especially when God's speaking to us, is to obey Him. To obey Him. How many of you here, in all honesty, how many of you here got saved the first time you understood and heard a clear presentation of the gospel? One. One. The rest of us didn't. Why? We had to be told over and over again. We had to be told over and over again. We fought against it. We resisted it. Most of us do, man. I mean, it's not... It's the uncommon, it's the exception that says the first time I heard the gospel and understood it, I got saved. Most of us doesn't. We were under conviction for a while. Under conviction for a while. Well, we knew we were lost, knew we needed to get saved, but we didn't want to obey the Lord, all right? We didn't want to do it. We didn't want to obey promptly. How many times have you heard guys get up and testify and say, God called me to preach or God called me to the mission field, and I ran from the call of God. Oh, my soul. Over and over and over we hear that. Why can't we as God's people say, Lord, you want me to do it? I'll do it. I understand that's what you want. I'll do it now. Prompt obedience. Prompt obedience. We don't have to be prodded. We don't have to be threatened. We don't have to be pushed. We don't have to be shoved. Okay, Lord, I've got it. That's what you want me to do. I'll do it. That was the kind of obedience that Joshua had. And I'll be honest with you, that is the only kind of obedience that is real obedience. Real obedience. I don't know what it was like in your house. That's the way my dad raised me and my brother, my dad and my mom. They raised us. I told you, do it, do it, do it now. Do it now. I'll do it in a minute. Oh, no, you won't. No, you're not going to do it in a minute. You're going to do it right now, all right? And it was up and at him. Why? We were taught to obey promptly. Obey promptly. Not only that, he obeyed completely. He obeyed completely. Just think about it. In one day, he picked an army. In one day, he picked an army. And got them ready. And the next day, they went out and fought the war. Next day, they went out and fought the battle. Complete obedience. Quick obedience. Promptly he did what he was told to do. Man, is that not the way we ought to obey God? Is that not the way we ought to obey God? And by the way, when Joshua obeyed Moses, he was obeying God. Because what Moses was saying is what God had told him to do. And what Moses' idea is what God spoke to him. So he said, I'll do it. I'll do it. But man, not fight against it, not argue with him. But just, okay, I'll do it. I'll do what you say. Complete, prompt obedience. Then I want you to look at verse 13. Verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now, discomfited is a Hebrew word that means beat the dickens out of them, all right? They whooped them, all right? That's what's going on. So what he's saying, I mean, Joshua was victorious. He was victorious. Accidentally? No. No, nothing accidental about what happened here. Not one thing accidental about what happened. He was victorious, but he was victorious for a reason. You see, I believe God honored his testimony. God honored his testimony. Here's Joshua, the man every time his name was spoken, people that understood that language heard, Jehovah is salvation. And Joshua had a good testimony. I believe God honored his testimony. Second thing, I believe God used his seasoning. God used his seasoning. Here's a man seasoned by suffering, shaped and formed by the experiences he had. It made his character what it was. And God used that seasoning to make Joshua victorious. But I'll say this, I guarantee you, God blesses obedience. God blesses obedience. And God blessed his obedience. Joshua said, Moses said, Joshua, come here. Yes, sir. What do you want me to do? I want you to choose an army. Tomorrow you're going to go fight Amalek. Okay. And he did it. And he went out. And what happened? Well, he won. He won. Why? Because Joshua was the world's greatest military leader? No, I don't believe so. Because of his ability to pick the best fighters? No, don't think so. Just because of his wonderful charisma and his great personality? No, don't think so. Don't think so. Why? Because God honored his testimony, used his seasoning, and he blessed his obedience. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God's still in the business doing the same thing. Still in the business doing the same thing. You don't have to be talented. You say, well, I don't have the most talent. You don't have to be the most talented person in the world. You just don't have to. I'll tell you this, you ought to be concerned about your testimony for Christ. You ought to be concerned about that testimony. Every day, everywhere you are, in every experience, you need to be concerned. Hey, what about my testimony? What do I represent in front of this world? What does the world see in me? What does the world look at and they see me? What do they think? Do they realize and recognize the fact I am a child of God and I'm a good representative for the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, God will bless. God will help. He'll honor that kind of testimony. And he'll use the seasoning you have. You've been put through some things. You've had some experiences. Don't get mad at God. Don't get upset because some things went wrong. Don't look around and say, that person had more talent than I did. A lot of talented people make a grand failure of life. Great failure in life. Just mess up. Don't look at that. Don't say, well, they never went through what I went through. Well, God put you through it for a reason. And he used that to season you, to make your life and to help you in this life, to make you what he wanted you to be. Don't go around pointing the finger, complaining and whining about it. Let God use that seasoning to develop you and to put the character in you that you need so he can honor your testimony, and then you learn to obey him. He'll bless your obedience too. Now, I'm not saying you'll whoop Amalek. All right? I'm not saying God's going to call you to choose an army and go fight anybody. No. I don't know what he's got for you. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know what his purpose is for your life. But I do know this. If you'll take a little bit from the life of Joshua, God can make a success out of you too. He can make a success out of you. Take your Bible, if you would, and let's go to Joshua chapter 1. We'll be done, okay? Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, if you look at verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and he began to talk to him. He began to tell him, and I want you to notice verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Hey, that's obedience. That's obedience. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, preacher, all I want in life, I just want to be successful, okay? God's told you how to do it. God's told you how to do it. You get you a good testimony, and you maintain that testimony. You let God season you. Let God season you. Let him work on you. Now, by the way, it doesn't always take 40 years of seasoning, okay? But you let God season you. And then you be obedient to him. And do everything he says. He said, what'll be the result? Success. You'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Good success. Boy, we talk about wanting that. I don't know that Joshua said anything before about wanting it, but God gave it to him. God gave it to him. Hey, how about you? What needs to be adjusted in your life? What needs to be adjusted that's there? God's working in you and working on you, working for you, like to work through you. Then let him do it. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, just a simple message from the life of Joshua. And Lord, as